I'm glad to welcome to the banquet. I'm glad to welcome to this podium for the next half hour of whatever he cares to say and whatever Q&A we plan to have with each other. Associate Commissioner Brian Daniels.
Good afternoon.
Hey, wake us up, yeah.
All right. Good afternoon, ACB. It is great to be here in Utica.
That'll wake you up. Good afternoon, ACB, if you're listening.
Wrong, huh? Well, I'll tell you, if I was in Utica right now at the ACB convention, I don't think I would be eating gelt for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you, I don't know how many people there may be in the ballroom or conference room of the Holiday Inn in New Hartford, New York right now, but looking around here and thinking about NFB conventions in the past, I don't remember a time when I have seen more people in the audience than today. And those applause for that should be very, very, very loud, because there are so many upsides to seeing so many people here, so many people being here today and this weekend, that I think the only downside to it is a little more competition for the door prizes. But I think certainly with your strong showing here today, it really demonstrates your commitment to the important issues that we share, the important issues that we debate, and the passion that's behind it, of something that impacts our lives so much every day. And I was teasing the ACB before, because they're very dear friends of ours, and I wish them well, very well, at their convention this weekend. And speaking of friends, you know, friends support other friends. And if friendship is measured by the level of support one gives to another, then I'm sure your affiliate president, Carl Jacobson, would stand by my side with me in saying that this past year has been unprecedented in a friendship and support between the National Federation of the Blind New York State Affiliate and the New York State Commission for the Blind and Visually Handicapped. And among the friends are a couple people who bridge both our organizations, a counselor, a children's consultant, one of them who has been with us for, boy, I've lost track, but it's got to be at least 10 years. And it is our outstanding children's consultant, serving out of the Buffalo office and also serving the Rochester territory, Mr. Bob Barbera. And in Buffalo last year, just after having just started with CBVH, and I remember within a week span, we saw each other in three different parts of the state in just a week. And it's another individual who is an absolutely strong asset to our staff. And in getting all around that state early on in his career, we all know and understand that he's getting around his territory very well. And I don't mean just physically, I mean in terms of the responsibility he fulfills. And along with Bob, I think a compliment to our staff and a very bright part of CBVH's future is our counselor in Syracuse, Mr. Glenn Stewart. Now back to that friendship and that support, Carl. You and I know our history, and we know our history particularly too this past year. And when we talk about the mutual support and we talk about standing by each other and standing shoulder to shoulder, it's not just talk, but it's actions that we've put in. And you too, Mindy, have been very much present in many of these activities as well, along with the moral support of so many of you and the support behind the actions and what we do and what we do together. We challenged an established program at a respected college for its accessibility to students who are blind. And we, and primarily the NFB in this scenario, not only made their point, but pushed to make great strides so that at Hunter College, their programs to teach mobility, rehabilitation, teaching, teachers for the visually impaired, the course content will once and for all and finally be accessible to people with vision impairment. And let's talk about that a little bit. Make no mistake about it. And if you didn't hear it in Buffalo last year, hear it in Albany this year. CBVH has, does, and will continue to support and to support actively the recruitment and successful graduation of blind individuals in programs such as mobility, teaching training programs for mobility instructors, for vision rehabilitation teachers, for teachers of the visually impaired. And if any of that is controversial at all, I don't quite understand it. Let's talk about mobility instructors. In assessing with our own staff of mobility instructors and a few others in the private sector about blind individuals pursuing this, not only is there an overwhelming, emphatic, of course it makes sense, but there's a sense, and this certainly is mine, that if we ever are to solve what we see as a crisis in inspiring anybody to serve as mobility instructors, it is going to be the act of support and recruitment of individuals who are blind to enter the field. And in talking to mobility instructors, and admittedly, only sighted ones, overwhelmingly, not only do they embrace this, there's one particular one too, and all of our mobility instructors on CBVH staff are very enlightened. There was one in particular when I asked the question of our mobility instructors who looked at me and said, "You know something, Brian? I am a sighted mobility instructor, but I will be the first one to say that there's no question that there are times when I feel," this mobility instructor said, "when this mobility instructor feels that an individual would be better served by a blind mobility instructor than a sighted one." And Carl and I recently engaged in a telephone conference with Louisiana Tech. And Dr. Eddie Bell there?
Yep.
Absolutely. Shortly before a trip to Buffalo and a conference that was there, at which we placed it on the agenda for a half hour, and we did so strategically because attending that was the dean of the Graduate School of Education at the University of Buffalo. And through that presentation, she has made a commitment to follow up and follow up soon, to continue that conversation about bringing a mobility program upstate where it needs to be, and not to the exclusion of Hunter College program, but to bring one upstate closer to people too who aspire to become mobility instructors, and to take that program too and make it not just something that will populate the mobility profession in New York State, but something too that will be seen as a national program where people from all over can come. And so New York State alone won't be a place where we repopulate for mobility instructors, but also the entire country. And once again, that will not be solved unless we together work to change some attitudes, to change any accessibility issues there may be. And though those are there and present, we also know that one reason that we are not as successful as we want in this endeavor is that we all have to do, and I put that challenge out to you, not just us, to do whatever we can to promote these programs and to inspire those who are blind to enter not just mobility, but vision rehab teaching and other similar types of professions. Carl will also tell you that CBVH stood shoulder to shoulder with the NFB and continues to do so on the minimum wage issue. There has been nothing that has been said today that we not only agree with, but I'm not sure what there is to add. Whatever anybody else said before, positive and in support, CBVH, again, is right there shoulder to shoulder. Now, we also, it's easy for us to support this too because we've supported it for years, and this was not just my idea, so to speak, when I assumed the position that I'm in, but this dates back to my predecessor too, Tom Robertson, who subsequently was the executive director at NABA, who understood that too. So it is a long history of support at CBVH for this. And NABA absolutely does an outstanding job of this. But you know something? Every affiliate of Industries for the Blind of New York State is aware of that, those same expectations of CBVH. When we do place in the manufacturing programs, which is not all that often, but when we do, we insist, and for years, that it is at least minimum wage. And the expectation, and NABA is doing that, and Chris Burke said it before, but that those who are working in the facilities are indeed making the same fringe benefits of the very CEO of that same affiliate. And you know something? I think we're going to get it done. And I also think that when it's done, I know this, the NFB will deserve so much credit for making sure that this sub-minimum wage is not included, ultimately, in Workforce Investment Act and, similarly, the reauthorization of the Rehab Act of 73 and its amendments. And last year in Buffalo, Carl put his neck on the line, maybe as much for NFB, and there was a little bit of a personal thing in there too. If you recall, Patty Chang was representing The same type of playing very much the same role that Anil is playing here today. She was from Illinois, and Illinois beat us in those scholarships. Well, that was the year before. And Carl, I believe you had a little bit of a wager with her, and I believe I was witness to that wager, correct? Absolutely. And you know what? If this was past years, Carl would be, New York would be owing Illinois something. But I don't remember what it is you wagered, but I know that Patty owed you something this year.
Patty still owes me. Yeah? Patty, you listening? Listen out there, Patty, you still owe me.
CBVH, once again, has a significant volume of scholarship applications for the NFB scholarship. And our goal, and a goal that we have together, is to increase that number even more next year. And I don't know if you two gentlemen to my right want to make some kind of a wager yourselves either, but whatever it is you might bet, you can stick your neck on the line again, Carl, and we will do our best to meet whatever it is so you can win another bet for that.
Yeah,
you're going to bet against us, huh? All right. Okay, we take that challenge. All right.
I'll get you the number that we had this year. I don't happen to Not a problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, also, as you well know, CBVH has been a faithful supporter with our funding and our moral support for many years for the NFB Newsline. CBVH continues to recognize the value of that service, and indeed that service only became even more valuable, as you said before, when you added those classifieds and it becomes a job. An extraordinary resource for jobs. And if you consider the average case cost of a rehab for CBVH, a successful one, and if you consider that the funding is about $40 per person a year for NFB Newsline, if a mere three or four, and I say mere, it's got to be more than that, but if just three or four found jobs through Newsline, the total investment of $137,000 a year would be realized just by three or four people finding jobs on Newsline. I think that's extraordinary. And so, to tell you the truth, and I mean this, I have no idea, and I have had some conversations, but I have no idea what will happen in the next 6 days. And Carl, you very accurately, I think before, projected a week by next Friday. One way or the other, thumbs up or thumbs down.
I know everything you know. Well,
but what I do know is that there's a commitment to New York State, no matter what happens, for us to find a way to continue to fund Newsline. Now, BEP, is Charlie in the room? Okay. Okay. Every morning when I wake up, the first words out of my mouth, they're in the Hebrew language. Modeh ani lefanecha, the first few words, it means I give thanks to you. I give thanks to God for giving me another day. Absolutely. And I follow it up with another blessing, thanking God, HaMechim Etzadei Gaver, for making firm my steps. And I received shortly after the passage and enactment of this a small certificate which my wife so kindly framed for me for my birthday, and it was a reminder of the work that everybody put into it. And I put it intentionally in a place in my bedroom so that when I open my eyes and I say that first prayer in the morning and I get out of bed and I say that second blessing, when I look up and I bless God for asking for making my steps firm, concurrently where I am in that bedroom, I am face to face with that certificate on the wall. And virtually every morning, at least every morning when I wake up in my own bed, I am reminded as I pray of the responsibility to make sure that this law that was enacted last year is nurtured, is forwarded, and meets and even exceeds the aspirations that we have for this historical expansion. And for all the support of the National Federation of the Blind and the State Committee of Blind Vendors for this endeavor had made all the difference in the world. Together we own this program, and together we will move forward, as I said, to reach those aspirations. Of course, I get the hint. Absolutely. Okay. I also have another reminder, too, above me. I didn't necessarily need the governor to remind us today because I've got a bobblehead of him up above my desk. And every so often when I think, can we really make this happen, I reach up to the bobblehead and shake its head up and down affirmatively. Yes, we can make that happen. And I did bring the bobblehead with me to this event as well. One last thing. Staffing and time management is an issue at CBVH. In the past year since the last convention, CBVH's staff has decreased by approximately 15%. Yep. I don't know if people realized we are down 15%. This included 7 layoffs. The staff is getting stretched thinner. We have a senior manager in Joe Nye doing his regular duties and managing our Albany office. We have a New York City district manager, now this is because of an illness, but managing 2 offices with some tag team up from Albany. And Bob and Glenn will tell you that 2 of those layoffs hit their offices. And Bob will also tell you that because of a retirement in the Rochester area of a peer, of another children's consultant, Bob's territory has doubled. And Bob and I recently had a discussion, and I know the understanding is that we're doing all that we can to get that other children's consultant, but Bob and so many of us continue to do more than our regular job duties. We will absolutely continue to do it as long as we need to and must. We will continue to pursue level staffing for CBVH, but in this interim, we continue to have these time management issues. And always, of course, as a government agency and a bureaucracy, we get criticized. And, you know, it is something and one thing to level that criticism. And in many cases, we recognize there is merit to that criticism. But I put out a challenge to those of our critics today. Become our allies. I mean, don't stop being critics, but ally with us. Become our supporters. I pray that those concerned acknowledge and grow to understand CBVH's core functions and find the inspiration to utter the words, "How can we support each other?" Like the NFB and CBVH continue to learn to do. How can we support each other? And I put this challenge out, not really to the NFB, but to other organizations here today. How can we support each other to get the word out about services? As Bob and Glenn can tell you, it's very difficult often with our diminishing resources, and it's not always easy for us to be able to get the word out. And so we ask those who may feel that we are not doing our jobs, don't ask for your understanding, but I ask for your active support. And we ask that you say, what can we do to help you get this word out? We understand all of us are pressed for money. And Carl said before, and I took the words down, this morning Carl said, we should believe a part of what government says to us about the dwindling resources. And boy, that was a very perceptive comment, Carl, because you have to, because it's real. But he said only believe part of it, and I know why. And that's because I've gotten to know Carl even better, and we've developed an even closer relationship, even more so this past year, as I said. That Carl said that we should only believe part of it, I know, because Carl is going to do what he always does. He's going to act as if that problem doesn't exist entirely. And you know something? If he and all of you act in that manner, we recognize that there is that fiscal crisis. I stand shoulder to shoulder with you. Our staff stands shoulder to shoulder with you to know that that too is a barrier we can traverse. But we can't traverse that barrier without that continued support, that continued friendship from the NFB that we've grown to appreciate and that we should never, ever take for granted. And
hold on, Neville.
Yep.
I asked Brian to answer Chancey's question
yes.
first.
Yes.
He heard it, so you know, he's ready to answer Chancey's question.
Absolutely. There definitely, there's no question that the quality of private vendors is hit or miss. I think we have many, many outstanding ones out there, but that doesn't represent everybody. And indeed, it's easier when you have a set of standards to be able to do quality assurance to measure against those standards. And when there are no standards for something like private vendors, we have to look for what we can do, I agree, to assure the quality in there and to be able to create those standards and measures, because they're not contractors, but find a way to create those measures so that we can indeed conduct some quality assurance. And hopefully, there's so many things that we need to do, and hopefully in due time, and hopefully with more resources that we will acquire, hopefully in the future, that keep pushing us on this too, because we do acknowledge that that's one of the areas that we want to pursue, along with so many others. And I listen to our staff and they say, what more can we do? What more can we do? And sometimes we have to talk about being realistic. And this again too is something that we would turn to you for your support in helping us to figure out how we can do this better and other things as well.
Brian, do I understand you to say that you'd like to form some kind of group? I don't want to say focus group, task force, but some kind of mechanism where you can set standards for private vendors that you, CBVH pays, be it an adaptive tech vendor, be it an O&M vendor, be it a Braille instructor, that you would like to find a way to not only have the standards that you have built into the agency contracts, but to then establish also criteria for private vendors to meet in their respective disciplines. Is that kind of what I'm paraphrasing, but is that what I'm hearing?
Well,
and that you'd like NFB to participate in?
Well, you know what? I would see that as a possible outcome. But my suggestion here, and if I could piggyback a little bit on what Luis had said earlier, that as the executive board continues its deliberations and is looking for important items to maintain its relevancy, that this might be a good opportunity for the executive board to work with CBVH to take a look at this issue.
To possibly create that. Chancey, go ahead, because be careful what you ask for. You might get it. Chancey with a follow-up.
All right, wait a second now. We got to give her a mic because
the
people on the internet are not hearing.
Oh, that's true. I'm sorry. I forgot about the internet. I'll stand. Brian and I will share this mic.
Is it possible to make a plea out there for someone out there? Is there a glass of like really cold ice water somewhere out there?
Take it too.
All right, sir. I'll make this quite quick. This is again has to do with technology services. It's my understanding that the contract that's currently in effect in the Metropolitan, some others, are going to come to an end soon, and that means. That means a lot of turbulence for everyone, but it also means that it's an exciting time. You get to rewrite the thing. I've taken a long look at it, and when it was written, there was basically one or two screen readers. There was JAWS and there was Window Eyes, and everybody had Windows, and everybody learned basically the same things. When that contract is rewritten, I want to know, is there thought being given to the fact that the skill set that you need if you are a college student is not what it is if you are a musician, which is not what it is if you are a doorman, and that perhaps some interactive goal setting between consumer, computer training provider, and counselor needs to take place as an alternative to the cookie-cutter contract model?
Yes. Now, I appreciate that question, and there's very, very little because of the transparency of government, which is important and necessary, there's very little I cannot talk about. But because there are definitely potential bidders in this room, I cannot really comment on the next phase of these contracts because they will be put out to bid. And by discussing this, I would literally put these contracts in jeopardy as well as my job.
How about, Brian, then, if I ask you to make those contracts better for consumers at the end, better than they were under the last RFP?
Knowing what's in them, mm-hmm. I'm certain they will be.
And if they're not, we'll talk to you about it.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I had Neville first. You're right. I'm sorry. I stopped Neville in order to get Chancey. I heard Neville first, and I think I heard Glenn after Neville.
Who's third?
And the chair is asking for who is number third.
Yeah, Brian, my question to you is...
I don't know.
Yes,
I've heard that throughout your discussion, the issue seems to be loud and clear that there's a resource crisis. And I want to say this to you, as both Brian Daniels, the acting commissioner, and as Brian Daniels, private citizen. At what point do you and the leadership at CBVH says we cannot do our job the kinds of resources that we are now getting from the police? At what point do you challenge them and say, hey, guys, this won't do it. Mm-hmm. Work like this?
Yes. Well, like many, many state agencies who compete for the attention of some of those individuals, and I think that's a very good question, Neville. We're certainly one of many voices out there that don't beg and plead, but put our cases and demonstrate why a lack of resources could harm our particular part of the world. But concurrently with that, and CBVH, I think it's a hallmark of us and who we are and what we do. If those resources cannot be attained immediately, we will use every resource and our resourcefulness within our capacity to be able to find that, so that services are not just the same as they were, but despite this, are improved. Because as I understand, in many languages, crisis, the word crisis, also means opportunity. And so we also have to continue to look for what those opportunities might be in the midst of a crisis. And clearly, and one of the messages I really want you to leave with today, is that one way and one opportunity we have is to continue what we have done this past year and strengthen even greater the relationship between the NFB and CBVH and other similar organizations, not just ACB, but many others, to forge the partnership and collaboration we need to work together to take this opportunity to address, and you use that word, Neville, and I agree with it, to address the crisis.
Brian, two comments. One comment back to Neville and Brian. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. During all these crisis budget cuts over the many years that we've had them, this isn't the first year we've had them, CBVH has been hurt less than any other state agency when it comes to its cuts. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, Brian just said. Now, that's a short answer. And I don't know, but I have to go back to my dictionary. I never thought of crisis knocks. I never thought of crisis as an opportunity. I always thought of crisis as something I'd want to, squirt water on. Okay, I know I heard Glenn, and who else did I hear?
Wilbur.
Okay, Glenn, then Wilbur. And then I think after Wilbur, unless I've got somebody dying for this, we're going to have to move this on. So Glenn, Wilbur, and is there anybody about to have a stroke? Oh, I thought I heard Glenn calling. I'm sorry. That makes it easier. Wilbur. I hope that mic works for you. I really do. It's getting rough up here to hear it.
But Brian was recognizing a couple deserving individuals, Bob and Glenn. However, I want to bring to the attention of the convention, two gentlemen are here from Syracuse who are from Africa, and they've joined the biggest and best organization in the world, the NFB, and that is Mr. Nasser and Haifa. They're from Haifa, and they're from Africa. They're from Africa.
All right, then they came long, they came further than Kathy from Florida.
Right. And the other one is we're losing in Syracuse the best OM guy going, who is sighted, but we all love him, and he's retiring after 39 years. And he was with the commission, and his name is Mike Dillon. And the only fault, although I love the gentleman, the only fault I had against him was he was from Brooklyn.
I simply observe, Wilbur, you were right many times. You don't have a perfect record. That's one of your, you're okay, Will, in spite of the fact that you don't quite understand quality. having said that, I think, Brian, what you said today is a perfect example of something that was said quite a long time ago about the agency and the NFB relationships in any state. There was a time when agencies for the blind, be they state agencies or private agencies, would not want an NFB affiliate in their state that had any kind of influence at all, because they saw it as a threat to that agency. And when time came that that agency needed help, they had what they wanted, an NFB affiliate that was ineffective and unable to help that state agency. What we have here in New York is an agency that has recognized that the best friend it can have is a consumer organization, in this case the National Federation of the Blind, that is able to stand with that agency shoulder to shoulder and meet the challenges of tomorrow, be they fiscal, be they philosophical, or whatever. When you are right, Brian, we will support you. When you are wrong, we will criticize you. You have never been shy about criticizing us. I think we can keep this relationship going if we can continue this honest relationship. I appreciate the commitment to Newsline. I appreciate the commitment to above minimum wage employment and the commitment that you have to being open to some of the suggestions that are coming to you today. I'm looking forward to another year where we can say, Oh, by the way, I'm also looking forward to an Eddie Bell program in O&M in New York, by the way. And I think that's one of the more exciting things that we had talked about. I remember Brian and I talked about it a few weeks ago. I said, are you ready to mention a convention? He said, let me give it some thought. There are a lot of things that happen, like I said in my presidential report, that I'm not always at liberty to talk about. But that was a great one, and I was just glad Brian said it today. Louisiana Tech program in New York would be super. Okay, having said that, I'm looking forward to another year's worth of relationship with you. I'm also looking forward to your attendance at the banquet tonight. It's been a long time since we've had a CBVH commissioner spend the night with us.